But I understand what
you're okay. talking. So I used to this Spanish teacher. Her name is Miss Meadow. I don't know if she's alive still, but God rest her everything. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing good. I used to make this noise.
Wait.
Right? I would do, so it'd be quiet in the class. She wouldn't be looking at us. She'd be writing on the board or something. And then I would go, and then I'd look up. And then maybe 3 days later, I came up with a plan to all of the kids in the class. I was like, look, I'm going to do it again. When it's quiet, we're all going to look up. And if she looks up, we all put our head down. So we go, he goes, we all look up. And then she looks up. And then right when she looks up, we all put our head down. So when she looks down, we all have our head down.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank Podcast. I'm not sure what episode this is because of how many episodes we've uploaded. It doesn't matter that we are inconsistent. We have, I know I've said this multiple times, but I'm finally confidently able to say that nothing will go wrong from here on out technologically. The only reason that we couldn't get out an episode for 1 week was because apparently Dropbox messes up a lot of people's downloads. When you upload files to send them to an editor or just anybody in general, because I've had this issue with multiple people and I didn't realize until like last week, the files mess up when you're uploading them to Dropbox. And we tried Drive, no issues there. So now we're finally back. Also, if you're listening to this, this is a reminder, this episode is only an hour long, but if you want an extra 30 minutes from this week's episode, you can go to patreon.com/fishtankpodcast and you will find exclusive content that is uploaded nowhere else except for the Patreon. And that is only $5 a month right now. We might add more tiers in the future. But if you want exclusive extra content every week, then go to that link, which is in the description. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Fish Tank. How are you guys?
I'm doing good.
Doing all right, man. I'm doing all right.
We made it, guys. I'm leaving the timer up in the viewer. This... man, bro, this is we just had a long talk about just content planning and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot because I feel like a lot of us three, we want to make it. We do want to make it.
I want it so goddamn bad. I want my dad to eat a shoe more than I want to actually make it.
He should eat a shoe already, though. Like, I feel like you're already living on your own.
I want it to be indisputable, though. I want him to realize.
Remind the people what your dad is eating a shoe for.
Okay, so when I was like, I want to say 17 or 18, my dad came into my room one day because I'd been spending a lot of time playing video games. And he said, you need to go out and do anything else that's not playing video games. And I said, why? One day I'm going to make money off of this. And of course he said, no, you're not, because that's the reasonable thing to say, because that's a stupid dream to have, despite, you know, so many people wanting it. It is stupid. To make money off of video games is incredibly difficult. You have to be like with the top 0.01% basically to even have a dream of that. But he said, that's not going to happen. You have to go to college, which I did, and got a good degree that doesn't work. Awesome. And then, I just played nothing but video games pretty much and continued on my merry way. And, I told him when I was 17, I said, I bet you one shoe that I will be able to make money playing video games. And at that time, I just meant that I would win a tournament because I was playing out of my mind at that point. I was super, super good playing at like the top level in TF2. And I in my mind, I just had to make like second place in any tournament. And I would make money. I'd be like, I just showed people, I'm like, I told you I can make money, eat a shoe. But he interpreted that as I will make money to live off of playing video games, which I didn't think I could do either. But I bet him one shoe that I would be able to do that. And he has been fighting me every step of the way to not eat this shoe. He keeps saying, oh, yeah, no, I'll totally eat the shoe when you hit this milestone. And I passed that milestone. He's like, I'll eat the shoe when you hit this milestone. And I haven't hit the current one, which is like 100,000 concurrent followers or something like that across all platforms, something like that. And I'm pretty damn close, Dad.
Don't you have that? I don't want to assume anything about your relationship with your parents, but shouldn't you just be able to go up to him and say, Dad, we made this promise years ago. What's going on?
I mean, I'm just telling you, dude. Like, I've had this conversation repeatedly. And he keeps saying, like, no, you're not, you haven't made it yet. Because I'm basically like, I'm out here just living, right? But I'm not, in his eyes, making it. Because like, if I've made it, then like, I can support a family of four, essentially.
Yeah, but do you? In today's time, to even support a family of one is like
impossible.
Yeah, it's really hard. Actually, it's very difficult.
Inflation.
Even if you had a normal job, there's no people fucking like have.
Thing is, it's more consistent when you have a, like an actual job. You know you're going to get this much money.
Yeah,
you're
I guess.
Content
and you
creator,
can, and
it's
yeah.
always up in the air. Like when I told him after the subathon, I was like, in 1 month, I made $10,000. And he said, that's awesome. Do it again. Touche. You know what I mean? Like it's a hard thing to do when you're not like, you've like made it. If I've made it and I was making that like every month, he'd be like, okay, yeah, no, that's pretty damn good money. Like it's hard to say no to that, but if I'm not making that much money like every month or something like that, then it's just I'm out here finding my way, I believe is how he looks at it. Because this is my dream. This is what I'm going to be doing until it gets to the point where it's unsustainable or give up or something like that. But yeah, I'm going to make him eat that shoe. I'm not giving up. I'm finding more ways to do it. And I think the way is YouTube Shorts. My last video just hit like 90,000 views, and I think I've got the rhythm down.
I personally have never met your father, but I still think it's a bit unfair that he hasn't done it yet.
I think the fact that you're living in one of the most expensive places on earth,
yep,
and you're doing it comfortably,
yep,
means that you've made it. Yeah, maybe you're not able to support a family. I'm not able to support a family. Fish is maybe able to support a family. I'm
no,
not sure.
No, who wants a family? Who wants a family right now? We are in our 20s. All of us are in our 20s.
We're about to not be, but
we don't
talk about
I didn't
one.
Bring
we'll
up that part.
We'll
we don't need to
that
we
part.
Don't need to be we don't need to have a family. Does your Okay, wait. What is your parents' opinion on
like
grandkids?
Yeah, have they come around to it now?
Like I understand brother, I know your brother had
yeah,
kids.
My brother
but,
has
or had
a child,
kid.
So
yeah, yeah.
They're placated. They, as far as they're concerned, I don't even exist right now. all of their time is literally on my nephew, which makes complete sense. My mom has been wanting me or my brother to have a kid since I went to college. So that's she is the happiest grandmother in the world just being around this tiny little dude that only poops. That's all
cute.
He does. And he's got the chubbiest little cheeks, and you can pick him up by his little fat cannoli legs, and just like he's just a little bundle of.
I think it. I mean, not to make it sad. I think it's the whole idea that like parents go through raising a kid, and then they grow up, and they kind of like they aren't as connected or not connected, but they're not as affectionate with you, you know, as they grow up.
Sure.
And they get to see that again. They're like they're reliving it. It's just like, oh, I get to go through that again.
Yeah, and they're of course like because they raised you most of the time, they're just like, oh, I wanted to have a kid the first time, right? And then there's another baby there, and they're like, I already know what to do with this. And it's like a part to them, it's like really enjoyable because they've been since you've been like left the house, they've been looking at everything in the past through like rose tinted glasses of like all the good things that happened, and like completely ignoring the parts where like you threw the worst temper tantrums on planet Earth, and there's like nights without sleep at all because you're just like screaming your head off, not able to do anything. Yeah. And all the negatives, like they just ignore that. And they're just like, look, a small baby. I know how to do this. And it's so beautiful and small. And it's also like not entirely their responsibility because you can kind of
yeah.
throw it back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, okay. So like going back to like your parents not like, I wouldn't say they don't believe in you, right? But they want you to do something more secure, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So my dad is a music producer and was a producer for the longest time, and he never wanted me to be a music producer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ever. He was like, this is the worst job. You don't want to do it. I know music is fun, but, like, you cannot do it. And he didn't believe in – or not that he didn't believe in me, but he would, like, tell me every time or every few months, like, you should go to school, get a degree, you know, use it to fall back on music – and whatever. And then I remember there was one day where I was like, Pops, like, I need to put all of my time into music. I'm going to drop out of school and I'm going to get a job so I can support myself and then do everything else in my free time to do music. It was like, all right, cool. You have until 24 to prove that you can like make it a living. And then if not, you're going back to school, you're going to get a really great degree and you're going to live off of that. And I was like, fine. Even when you're 24, like I can just say, fuck you. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Sure. But like, I love my dad and we have a family like that. And then, you know, slowly 21, 22, 23 starts coming. And then right
it
when
just
I
just keeps coming
right
and it
when
don't
I
stop
turn,
coming.
Literally
guys.
Right before my 24th birthday is when we got nominated for a Grammy. And then I was like, I remember my manager called me at 8 a.m. He's like, hey, you got nominated for a Grammy. And then I was like, what are you talking about? And then told me the whole story. And then I literally like busted out of my bed. I was just like fucking yelling at the top of my lungs. My dad comes in like, what the fuck is going on? It's like, I just got nominated for a Grammy. And then that was the day that he like, all right, you're going full force into this. I'm not letting you quit. And there's actually been days where I'm like, Pops, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I think I want to just come back home and figure out what life looks like to me if I don't do music. And he's like, no, you have something good going. You need to keep it going. I will help you along the way. And it's like, it's the complete shift in like how he believes in me is like been amazing. Like, you just need to have that moment with your dad, I feel.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's not like my dad wouldn't support me in anything that I do, right? It's just like, he views it as like, I think he just doesn't understand how money is generated from this in yeah. a way that I can like explain it to him, where it's just like, listen, I just need the ball to roll. And then if I can just push it down the hill, it will do its own thing if I just keep it consistently moving. And then by the time it gets to the bottom, it'll be a very large ball that I can comfortably take away to the bank and say, this is my money. Please put this away forever so I can draw on it from forever onwards.
Yeah.
But I mean, that I really just need to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I took it for granted during COVID. I really did. Because I thought like I was going to be nice and comfortable, just chilling at like 200, 300 viewers and then kind of consistently grow from there. And then COVID went away and I was like, fuck.
Everybody went through that. It was actually I kind of went through that post not COVID but post COVID views depression
mm-hmm.
of just seeing the numbers like go down. But then when I did move to LA, which was shortly after COVID's kind of stopped quarantining everybody, I talked to a lot of streamers just in general, and they're just like, you know, I genuinely saw a huge spike in viewers during that time period, and it just went down.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, like in my head at the time, I was just like, okay, this is 100% reflective on me. I'm messing something up. Like I am ruining myself. But and like yeah, you are very responsible for how well you do on the internet. But during that time period, yes, there was an inflation of views because of how many people were genuinely at home and. Like,
there's
just
nothing else going on. Yeah. I mean, I understand that, but I think I could have done more. And I'm realizing that now, and I know now what I have to do. And, like, the worst part is, for everything in life, someone has already gone through what you've gone through. Unless you're literally on the cutting edge of something that has never been done before. Like, someone has already gone through what I'm going through right now, where they had a start, and things were going well. And if they just applied themselves in the correct direction more, they could have really gotten themselves, like, a good thing going for them, and I just didn't. I was kind of just lackadaisy about it because I thought that I kind of had my niche figured out, and it was not even remotely close to what I think it was. Now I'm starting to put together all the pieces of the things that I want to do, and I think it'll go better from here on.
Not to have my "I told you so" moment.
No, 100%.
Do you remember? No. But do you remember that one discussion that we had where I got really heated and I left the Discord and I was like, "Tuval, you need to push yourself and like do."
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you called me an idiot.
Like, when was this?
It was, I don't remember, but I was like, you need to focus on YouTube and do you remember?
Yeah, I just had no idea how to do it. So yeah. I was just like, I'm just fine, Louis. I'll do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I thought I had my own rhythm down, but yeah. I didn't know what to do with.
Well, it was new to all of us for sure.
And I was just like, I don't want to do that. And I should have just done it anyway. A lot of times the things you need the most are not the things you want.
Absolutely. I have the same things in music as well. Like, we should have been touring or playing certain types of shows or doing, I mean, it's not regrets. It's just stuff that you learn from. And then hopefully you can catch that lightning again and like do it correctly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it doesn't work out that way, but you know, if you ever had the opportunity to do it again, it's just like, oh, I know exactly what would work now, but you know, hindsight's 20/20 and whatnot. So here's a big thing, though. I think I've said this once or twice before, but for those of you out there that haven't gone to college yet or are looking to go into college, please have an idea as to what you want to do before you go for a degree and try to figure it out along the way. I promise you it's a lot better for you if you decide beforehand on something you genuinely think you could see yourself doing X amount of years into the future. Because if you're like me and you go for an arts degree that you haven't really done anything art related for, college isn't the place to learn it. I'm just telling you right now.
No, yeah, I think
but college is like, it is an easy way to get connections that you wouldn't. Oh, absolutely. Originally have.
No, I'm not saying college absolutely. Isn't a good place to but get connections. It's specifically the place to get
arts,
connections.
Yeah. In specifically arts and creative degrees.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay.
Make sure that because I've touched upon it, I think on here
at one point.
But you need to have been doing that or interested in that before college. Don't. I'll just do it from a music standpoint. Like you don't want to enter college and be like, oh, I'm going to do music and then have never done music before.
Yep.
You want to have, oh, I'm very passionate about this. I want to take it to the next level. Like, then go to college. Like, before college in high school, I was making music since freshman year. I was making music and doing nothing but music. And then I went into college.
If you're going to do the other route, though, and go into college not knowing, like, anything about that, but you're just like, this, I've decided this is what I want to do, you have to realize you have to make up for that time.
Yeah.
Like, that is an obscene
amount. We touched upon it on the Joel's podcast.
Yeah.
Like, Joel's, like, put in, I mean, he was working every hour except for 8 hours a day. Do you remember?
Think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Now, coalesce that down to every day for 4 years.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. But that'll just put you into depression 90% of the time, unless you're an inhuman animal like Joel's is. So,
when you follow a schedule like that of just following, even just a full day of doing something that you know is 100% like productive, or even just like 90% productive, me personally, I have those moments where I literally am just like I like fucking raise my fist into the air and I'm just like, yes, I did that shit. I feel so accomplished. If you can just like schedule something and then
do it throughout the day. I hate schedules so much. I despise them. I'm just saying, so hard to make like a schedule for 3 weeks and I couldn't even do it.
As somebody who struggles with just like finding something to do that's productive, when I have that day that I do have a whole day of productivity, it feels amazing. That's something that I am bad at is planning stuff.
I feel like every time I try to plan something, I forget something critical. And then the time will come around, I'm like, hey, guys, are we here for it? And everyone's just like, were we doing that today? Or I thought that was until later. And I was like, fuck, I missed the time again. Or I forgot this thing again. And I demoralized all the way into the ground. I'm like, I'll never make a schedule. Everything will be spontaneous forever.
Yeah.
And that's all I ever do. And it's really, really bad.
Nah, man. Timing dates is a thing. And then you got to specifically make it specific time,
mm-hmm.
or else people will assume, all right, 10 p.m.
Yep.
That's when we start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the more people you add, the worse it gets. God, I hate people, dude.
Yeah.
Just all of them. Every single person that has ever existed, including myself. There's just so much anger towards everyone because I just wish everyone was always available when I was available.
But then you just don't know what they have planned because they have another
exactly. How dare they have lives outside of that one moment I need them for?
It's frustrating, but I've learned that if I can't get a group of people together, then I didn't plan enough. That's what I see it as.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And it's probably a good way to look at it. When you start blaming other people for your own shortcomings, that's when you start really unraveling at the folds and people start not enjoying being around you.
Oh, no, man.
I mean, I think streamers or like content creators in general are very bad with time. It's just like a fucking thing. So it's like, I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. Like not being able to get everybody together.
No, I'm always going to do it because it's always my fault forever.
I don't beat myself up at it. I'm just like, fuck. I'm not frustrated at myself. I'm frustrated in general. I'm just like, damn it. I had something. We were supposed to do this now, and it didn't happen.
The timetable in your head gets thrown off, and you're just like, well, it's all garbage now, and you just throw the whole thing away.
Yeah.
Whenever I made a mistake, I used to always go back and literally start from zero again. And like, as soon as I messed up anything when I was a kid, I'd be like, it's all ruined. It's insalvageable. And I would literally throw everything away, and I would go back from the very beginning.
Lego pieces in the garbage.
I never did
Wasted
Lego.
So much money.
I never did Lego.
I did stop motion Legos when I was younger.
What the fuck? Wait, actually?
Yeah. My mom, when I was a... It was so cringy, like in a good way. But right before I came back to Los Angeles, my last trip in New York, my mom pulled up the laptop and she's like, look what I found. And it was all of my recorded old like stop motion Lego Bionicle. Not Bionicle. Yeah, just Lego fucking stop motion animation where I was like voice acting the characters, like all of them, where you could see maybe in like 5 frames per second, a skeleton Lego horse like charging down a hill, and then I was being like,
you were recording vocal voiceovers.
I mean, like, I wouldn't call them voiceovers, but yeah, I was just like, I didn't know how to do it back then. So what I would do is that I would start hit record on the camera and then stop record and then hit record again. Hit record, stop it, move the Lego, hit record and stop, you wouldn't move the Lego.
Take pictures?
But I didn't take pictures. I would take videos. So then what I would do instead of, you know, taking the picture... Bro, that's crazy. Bro, I was not even 11 when I was doing this.
No, I know. I'm just saying crazy.
So then, and then it gets even more scuffed. Then I would take a video camera and I would record the playback feature on the camera. So I had two cameras in my hand because I didn't know how to fucking get the file from the camera onto the computer digitally.
Oh my God.
So I'd hold a camera and then I would just scrub through the photos. And then I was like, I did it. I recorded a film. I would literally hit record on a camera and record the playback screen of another camera.
Then
as I was recording it, that's where the voiceover part came in.
Oh my God.
In real time, I would be screaming, like just saying, oh my God, the king has been slain. We must seek vengeance. And then I would create a whole Lego film.
Can we upload those?
I can. They're on the computer. Like literally, I'm going back to New York in like a week or something for a very short period of time. I can ask my mom. Just send me those.
We should upload those to the Patreon.
Oh God.
At least now I'm beginning to understand how you managed to get into like animated SFM stuff now, because you had the patience to do that shit.
That man. I look.
You have the heart of a speedrunner.
I think you
have the heart of a speedrunner. I think you should try.
You know what? That's what
I think. You should try a Breath of the Wild speedrun. That's what I think.
You know what? That's a thing. There's things that once I get involved in something, I'm in it, but I can never get in it.
It's a 0 to 1. That's hard.
Yeah. I know that's like what a lot of people struggle with, but like me, that's, I know for a fact that I never make that initial jump. Like, I'm just so used to unchanging things.
You have the heart of a speedrunner. You could get some times. If you could sit through fucking making a stop motion thing and then
I mean, I want to let you know, they were like, they were not good.
I hope they're not good.
Who says I hope they were
good? I want them to be bad.
Essentially, okay, I can't even remember it. A walking cycle for somebody to take 2 steps, so just like standing still, right foot, left foot, that would be 6 frames. So it'd be like left or right foot up, right foot like in the air, step, left foot up, left foot in the air, step. It was like 6 or 7 frames. Like putting it into perspective.
How long were these videos you made?
2 minutes.
That's pretty good, I feel.
2 minutes? Yeah. Dude, that took...
I made a few of them back in the day. That must take
so long, dude. You did all of them in that super fucking scuffed way?
Yeah. I learned as I grew up that...
Did you just imagine your mom looking at him recording his camera of Legos and he's just thinking, I hope he's not on the spectrum. And she walks away.
My mom would have never had those ideas. She was... She like looks back at them now. She's like, they're masterpieces. No wonder you became a YouTuber.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
But no, I mean,
I can see my mom like in my head, just like peeking around the corner at me, just playing with like my animals, where I'm just sitting there, like just like, and we will kill them. No, we can't do that. No, it's just like she must have thought I was.
But it wasn't creative at all. It was just the technological aspect of it was cool. But the creativity of like the dialogue that I was putting in for these Lego Playmobil knights, it was just like charge and oh my God, I'm dying, and that was it. That was the extent of the writing.
Well, I mean, at 10, I would still say the fact that you're able to make one of those is crazy enough. Yeah. Especially considering you had to figure it out on your own. No guidance whatsoever. You're just like, no, this is exactly how this would be done. It's just re-recording on top of the camera.
This is how James and the Giant Peach was made.
I remember as a kid watching like a stop motion of some major like picture, like behind the scenes or whatever, like it like being fast forward where the guys like move in and move a thing and they fly out of the camera because it's all sped up. And I was just like, I could never move that fast.
That's funny.
As a kid, that was my thought. I was like, they're so quick. Fucking adults are so fast.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Did you ever watch that movie?
No.
I've seen clips. I know what the animation style looks like.
It's with George Clooney. That's like 12 terabytes of photos.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, from the sets and just taking stop motion stuff.
Photos. 12 terabytes. That's crazy.
I always think back to the... there was an iCarly episode where... Oh, God. What's the guy's name? The older guy?
Spencer.
Yeah, they like have an episode where he's fascinated with making stop motion animation, and he has this whole camera set up in front of this clay, and then he takes a photo. He barely touches the clay. He'll like tap it. Camera snapshot.
There's an episode of Parks and Rec where I guess
They tell him at the end of that one, by the way, where it's just like a 10-second video. It's like, that's it. He's like, that's it. Yep. And then he like throws it away.
And that's what always like scared me. It's just like, wow, if I want to get better at this, it's going to take years. Like this whole time I'm always thinking it's going to be a one man band. I'm not going to have anybody to back me up. I'm going to have to do all that work on my own.
Yeah.
There's an episode of Parks and Recreation where Leslie Knope's boyfriend, he's played by Adam Scott, I forget his name in the show, but he gets fired from his job or like leaves his job and then gets into stop motion animation. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone for like a week in the episode. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back and shows somebody, it's like, dude, I worked so hard on this. And then it's just like a stick figure animation getting out of bed. It is like 34 seconds. And then he's like, I worked 2 weeks on this. And then he didn't realize how bad it was until he showed it to somebody.
Yep. I believe it. I really do. You know what I used to do? I used to write really bad comics with my friends. Where it was just like we were like some... I want to say it was like maybe fifth or fourth grade, and we pretended we were characters from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I draw little stick 100%.
Figures. We drew 100%. Little stick figures of them, and they had like the hair or whatever. They had like little special attacks. And my guy's like left arm was a shotgun, and his right one was like a sniper rifle shot. And then my friends had like muns that just like appeared around him in a circle and that kind of thing. And he'd have like the little, he had a flip book that we made out of like post-it notes, where it was just my guy doing a shotgun and then the laser. And I remember going through the whole thing, and I like got through like maybe one full fight, and I said, I'll never do this again. And it was the worst, but it was a very cool little flip book. Yeah. I was very proud of it.
Did you guys ever do the stick fight animation or whatever? Like stick.
I never tried to make one.
It's super easy with the, and it just gives me an idea. I'm definitely going to do that on stream, but there's like a program that lets you do like a full stick fight animation, and it's super easy.
Wait. You know what? This is, I can't believe I've never told anyone this. I actually completely forgot, but I once asked out a girl using stop motion animation with Flash. Yeah.
The Riz.
Did it work?
It worked. It was a little flower that came up out of the ground, and then the petals bloomed, and then they kind of like all fell off and went to a circle, and then the keyframing fucked up, and everything in the picture just like went into the circle, and then like it was all fucked up coloring wise coming out, and I was like, I can't fix this. and then I just made like a whole bunch of other things where it just turned completely into the background, and then I just had to think like, will you go out with me, you're my rose or something like that, and then she's just like, oh my god, this is so sweet. And then we went on like 3 dates
and nothing
out of it, but I was just like, I can't, I in my head I was like, she'll hate this because I don't know how to make it look good anymore. But I spent so much time making it.
That is the sweetest thing ever.
That is beautiful.
Is there any way to find it? Oh no, it is long.
Do you think she has it?
No, hell no. It was like on a floppy disk. Oh dude.
We're not that old, bro.
I swear to you. I swear.
We are not old enough to be transferring shit on floppy disks. Dude,
I was that old. It was before USB. It was a fucking floppy disk in Flash animation. I remember it because I remember thinking it's not going to fit on the drive.
goodness. I was using floppy disk in like third grade. When did you ask this girl out?
Yeah, it was like fourth or fifth grade, man.
You were taking girls on dates in fourth or fifth
grade? That's crazy.
I mean, I tried.
Damn, the ring, that's bro. Early.
Yes. My first crush, her name was Jackie.
Jackie's
how is Jackie? Is she doing good?
I have no fucking idea.
You should contact her.
I have no idea what her last name is. But I remember this is when I was in that grade. I remember I liked Jackie, and Jackie liked my best friend. Oh, and my best that. Friend liked some other random girl, and Jackie's sister liked me. And
this
it was the worst thing.
Love triangle.
It wasn't even a love triangle. It was just a love line. It was just a conga line, and no one liked, no one reciprocated anyone's feelings anywhere. And at any point in the line,
Jesus,
Danielle came up to me, or like no, Jackie and Danielle's best friend told me Danielle liked me, and I was just like, I don't know how.
But
to tell
I
you
like
this.
Jackie.
And I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I like Jackie, and she said, oh, and then she walked away. And I didn't know what to do at that point. And I remember going home and just sweating.
Can we address? I don't know how you, I don't know if this is like pathetic sounding, but nowadays if somebody says, God, I don't know where I'm going with this. If somebody said that they liked me versus like the innocence of being a kid and being able to say like, I'm not considering that at all. I'm throwing you to the side. My heart is set on one person, and that is, in your case, Jackie. Right now, if somebody says they like me, I'm like,
I'll give it a shot. Why not?
What? Oh my God. I never want to get that's crazy. Yeah, and then I'll start seeing them completely differently. It's just it's funny how that works.
Honestly, wouldn't know, because no girl has ever come up to me first and asked me on a date ever. I don't know what would happen if someone did.
It's tough. It's never happened to me either.
It's tough now. I feel like, well, yeah, I think as you grow older, I think it's less likely that, like, you know, the girls will have that friend that'll just come up to you and be like, hey, no,
I mean,
good news for you.
I think that's pretty much over.
Like, exactly. That's yeah. what I'm
I've
saying.
Still had some high school moments recently.
Yeah, but that's just sad.
No. I mean, no. In like a similar fashion.
I literally had one today, actually.
Did no, like really? Our friend came up to me and she was like, my friend who came to your birthday with her now ex-boyfriend wished you that she was with you. I was like, what? This is awesome. I was like, this is so high school. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like you just see them and it's just like, ooh, you like me?
I think the craziest part about dating anyone in high school was when you stopped liking that person and then you're just like, all of my friends are going to know about this. And they're going to know all the details
my
about
my best friends already like you. Yeah, oh, no.
Oh, and it's just like, what if everyone I know hates me now? Like, all of that. Because you can't conceptualize a place where you're just like, yeah, it didn't work out. And you both just stay friends or something like that. It just never goes that way in high school.
I have a funny high school story.
What's your name?
Okay. So when you're in high school, you learn... If you have a cool like history teacher or social studies teacher, they'll teach you about like communism and totalitarianism and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. when they're teaching it to you, it's kind of, especially as a Cuban where you think communism is what destroyed Cuba.
Sure.
It's not actually communism, it's dictatorship.
Are you telling me capitalism isn't the only way?
There's many other ways. It just, okay. None of them work, communist. Obviously, right? Capitalism is the best way.
Listen, I'm just saying, we are the only one that has the Pledge of Allegiance that I've
memorized. So, but you're raised to believe that communism is what destroyed...
Did you say you're the only one who...
I'm just saying our country is the only one that has a Pledge of Allegiance that I've memorized. That's all I'm saying.
Because you're fucking American!
I don't think... Do I... I haven't even heard
why would
of
you,
any
why would you memorize any other?
I think, honestly,
unless
God,
you wanted to
I
go.
Think, I think only America has one of those. And if you think about it that way, it's...
Wait, America has only
we're the only ones that have a Pledge of Allegiance.
There's no way that that's true.
I swear to you. Mm-mm. I swear to you, I'm pretty sure we're the only ones that have a Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone has a national anthem.
I think
we're the only ones that have a Pledge of Allegiance. And if you think about it that way, it is insane to think about. Just getting, like, the first thing you do when you walk into class, homeroom, I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic. And, like, you swear, like, to be a citizen of your country. That's the most nationalistic thing I've ever heard. And not, like, the good kind of nationalism. That's, like, indoctrination levels of nationalism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a crazy thing to think
about. It's brainwashing, for sure. Yeah,
and if no one else in the country or, like, across the world has that, like, you imagine a foreign exchange student coming in as a kid, and, like, he's just sitting down in class waiting for everything to start, then everyone just stands up immediately, and he's like, I pledge of allegiance to the flag from, like, 40
Is it like
kids.
This?
Okay, so there are other ritualized pledges that express love to the country and ideals without specific references to flags or symbolism.
So we're the only ones that...
Pledge allegiance
to
the
flag,
yeah,
of the United States of America,
which
is one nation under God, indivisible.
Okay. All right, so
I still know it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just saying this because we had a Jackbox game where they had to arrange all the words of the Pledge of Allegiance because it was put down it's like a conveyor belt thing, and you have to it gives you a block of it, and all five people on the other team did not put it down together, and I was ripping out my hair. Like, it's the pledge. Of allegiance. All of you are American. how do you
I didn't
not
do that.
Know
I didn't
pledge?
Do that in my school.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Do you know it, though?
No.
You don't know the Pledge of Allegiance.
If I heard it, I would be able to word it along.
If I read it to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. Liberty, but yeah.
Is that not what I said? I said liberty.
Liberty.
Okay,
you know what he meant.
Skibberty.
Skibberty
slumber.
That brother. Brother go.
Know that better than the pledge.
I know. I hate that. I've seen videos where it's just name all the Pokemon Generation 1, and then they'll do it. It's name three presidents.
Okay.
I did all 151, and I was stuck.
You
on,
did all 150?
That's all crazy.
It took me an hour because I was stuck on three, and I was like, what the? I missed Ditto. It was my last one. It took me so long to remember Ditto. I was like, where the hell is this? Ditto. But I did it.
All right. So social studies, history, we're learning about different government systems and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I was led to believe that communism was evil.
Of course.
What's it called? But then when you actually learn about it, Karl Marx's communism, it's more about everybody in the community is working together to better the community.
Let's
stuff
just
like
say
that.
It's the great concept to hear.
It's a great concept.
When
when you're young, you're like, wow, this is so
amazing.
Cool. It's awesome. It doesn't work, obviously. But when I then go to my family's Thanksgiving dinner
and
with all of my families,
God help
and
you.
They're all Cuban... and then I'm like, did you guys know that Cubanism or communism isn't that bad? And then they all look at me like, you hear the forks and knives clink, and then it's just silence. They all look at me. It's like, and I was like, yeah, I learned today that communism isn't what you think it is. And I doubled down on it because I know, I'm learning about it. And then I shit you not.
The ass whooping I received.
No. The berating and the being made fun of for the whole night. God, Jesus. But I shit you not. I got a call from my mom 3 days ago. And then she was like, hey, Louis, you're on the speaker with my friends. Do you remember that time you said that stupid fucking thing about communism at our Thanksgiving? I was like, Mom, it's been 13 years. It's been 13 years. Why is this coming up? It's like, she does not let it go. She does not let it go. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. I love it so much. But
I think things that my family won't ever forget. My little cousin, James. Oh my God, dude. When he was a baby, he let out one of the most rancid farts a human has ever released.
A memorable fart.
Dude, he was a baby. He was in his little, not stroller, what's the thing? The
crib?
Not quite a crib, the little rocky thing. And, dude, oh my God, his carrier Dude, it smelled so bad in the middle of grace. We were saying grace.
Like at a dinner? At
Christmas dinner. And he let out the most rancid fart. And we heard it. And we all turned during grace when everyone's heads are down. Like, what is that? My grandma went, oh, Lord. To this day, whenever we have grace, all of my cousins and I, we open one eye and we all look at James and his hands are like this. He was a baby, couldn't control himself. And he has been told this story every Christmas. Every Christmas. And his head is buried whenever it's going on because of something he couldn't control when he wasn't even old enough to realize words were a thing. It was the funniest thing.
Dude,
it was the most rancid fart of all time.
Do you have any I have a story with me and my brother that no one else knows but except for me and my brother.
Oh, 100%.
So we went to a water park, right? And you know how like there's like a lazy river or whatever. Like there's lazy rivers and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like maybe 14 at the time. My brother was 7. No, okay, I'll give him I was like 17. He was like 13, 14. We'll say it like that. So I was hanging out with the adults. They were all having drinks and I was just chilling with them. And my little brother was in the lazy river by himself. And I guess I was positioned in a way that I was the only one able to see the lazy river in action. So I looked over and I see my little brother. He waves at me. I look back at my parents while they're talking, we're talking. And then I look back and I shit you not. I just see legs flailing out of the water. And I see him like, who's himself back? And he's looking at me. And then I'm looking at him like, but to this day, no one else knows that that happened. It was just me and him having this moment. Like, how did that happen? He's like, I don't know.
Dude, that's so good.
It's like I'm just the
little legs. Flailing in the water.
Look back.
And I'm far enough to where I can't help him. And I know he's just in a lazy river. Like, he's not in danger.
The one for me and my brother is one that I think my parents would probably be very mad to hear, but... I don't know how it started. I think it was at one point one of my cousins had pissed me off. And it was during like Thanksgiving or Christmas, one of the two. All I know is that I didn't know how to get revenge on him because he was older than me. But I did know that if I couldn't do it physically, I could do it by just making him look like a dick. So what I did was I made him spill a drink like 4 times during Thanksgiving. And I would do this whenever he was sitting down. Like you have the table right next to the chair, and like you know how your elbow will come precariously close sometimes? I would just go up next to him, and I would push his glass closer to his elbow. And every time he would move, and he would knock the whole thing over. Then at the dinner table, during grace, move it close to his hand, so when he puts his arm down from grace, knocks the glass over. And I did it like 4 times during one Christmas. And I told my brother, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. And I did it every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, for like 5 years. And my brother would see me walking over to him to move a glass closer to him every Christmas. And I would look him in the eyes and be like, check this out.
I mean, at some point you would stop doing whatever you were doing, right? Like,
No, not him.
Like,
it was always different times, dude. Different. Every time he would sit down with a drink, I was just like,
oh my,
now's the time. And I would move over and I would put it closer to him.
That's
and
evil.
Every time he would knock a drink over. Every single time.
Not when you're starving, when you know you're going to a family gathering, saving, not eating that whole day.
Everyone knows.
And then you sit down.
Everyone knows now that him as the guy that just spills stuff. And he's like, I don't understand. Every time I come here, I always spill something. And my dad will say it to him. My mom will say it to him. He's like, we need to give you a sippy cup. He's like, I'm not going to spill anything this year.
And then you spill. Would you still do it today?
If I could, yeah, 100%. I just think it would be funny, but I outgrew it at that point. I'm like, I probably ruined a rug.
Yeah.
My poor mom. Cause now he started like drinking alcohol and wine and stuff. I'm like, yeah. There's no getting that.
Wine would be shit.
Yeah, exactly. So now I kind of stopped after he started drinking because no one wants to get that out of the rug. And I was like, he's probably.
You got to do the research and bring like the Lysol or whatever it is, the lime.
I'm not going to come prepared for stuff. Then people will be like, why did you bring that? And I'd be like, oh, you never know.
You don't have to bring that up. You don't. I mean, does your family not come to a family gathering with a whole bag or like a cart of food or whatever it is?
Yeah, of course, but it's just food. If I just pulled out a can of fucking like pine.
But you don't pull it out until it's time.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be like, why was that in the bag? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I just had like I just want to be prepared.
I think.
Yeah, my brother would always look at me like, and I'd be like, oh yeah. And I'd just push the glass closer every single time. And I'd always look at him. During grace, he would open up one eye. I'd push it closer.
Oh my goodness.
I have a similar story to that about me pushing something. So I used to go to my friend Brian's house all the time, like literally every day.
I know the story.
I've told it to you. I know. Have I said it on the podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This is a good one.
So we would just hang out at his house every time or every so often, and we would just chill in his room all the time. And then every time he would leave his room or, you know, go to the bathroom or check on something in the kitchen or get food or whatever, I would move his bed an inch, like away from like his nightstand or something like that. Just an inch. But after a few days of doing this, I've now moved his bed 6 inches or 7 inches away from his nightstand. And it would get to the point where he would go to grab his thing of water and through muscle memory, just keep his eyes closed, drink the water, and then like, put the glass back on the table, but just drop his glass.
Yep. Yep. That's the good ones. That's the good stuff. The slow burn.
The slow burn. And it took him like months to realize what was happening. And then he came to me one day and he was like, have you been moving my bed? Which has to be like a crazy thing to ask somebody, right? Like, have you been moving my bed? I was like, yeah. He was like, I hate you for doing this. Can you please not do this anymore? Because imagine the psychological, like...
Oh, yeah. No, I believe it. Oh, no, 100%.
It's such a funny...
You know the ultimate slow burn? Actually, there's two stories that I can remember. One was from my friend Mikey back in high school. And then the one that's just like, just straight up malicious was by my dad's friend. For Mikey, he was... I think visiting someone's house, and they had like, you know, there's a relatively small family. They only had like one bathroom. And I guess he had like his friend while he was over there had said something like to him that pissed him off or whatever. And my friend Mikey decided that the best way to get revenge would be to remove the most critical thing in any house with one bathroom, but that no one would notice until it was absolutely necessary.
Poop knife.
No, well, what a Reddit story that is, but like, no, he took the plunger. He took the plunger and he just walked away with it. Just
yeeted it.
He just walked out of the house with it when no one was looking.
Because you don't need it.
You don't need
until
it.
You'll
never
it.
Notice it. It's invisible until it even comes into your mind.
And y'all have my plunger downstairs and I just remembered that.
Yeah. But it's in the house, so you know where it is.
That's but what happens when I, you know?
You don't need it until you need it. Yeah. But so continue.
Yeah, but he took it away, and like 3 months later, he comes, Mikey's friend comes to school, and he's like talking with him. He's like, yeah, dude, I don't know what happened to our plunger, but that was the worst night ever. The whole toilet overflowed, dude. We couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Just you don't need it everywhere. Until you need it.
And Mikey was just like, yeah. It's a damn shame, man.
Good. He takes that shit to his grave, except for telling you.
Yeah, he told me, and it's just like, I caused that. And I was like, for real? He's like, yup.
That's evil.
And I was like, damn, that's pretty good.
That's a good fucking thing to, like, I'm going to do that to Reggie's house. Take his plungers.
That's so messed up.
That's such a good, like...
It's the ultimate slow burn.
It's such a good slow burn.
The one I thought of, that I never got to do, but I was just like, if anyone ever really pisses me off, it's just leave an odd number of all their batteries.
Oh. Just take one battery?
always just one
odd battery. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That or just remove them all entirely. I can't decide which one's worse.
No, I mean, way, you take one. Out, that's the slow burn. If you remove them all, that's theft.
Yeah, because like you...
yeah, those packs can get pretty full.
Yeah, yeah. What was the other one I thought of? God, it had something to do with, I think, hair ties. I don't remember what it was, though. I just remember that very, very, like, it was a shower thought. I was just like, oh, that'd be so good. It's just
are you guys evil? These are thoughts that have never gone through my head. Of just like, how can I?
I wouldn't say I'm evil. I would
how
say
how can I just slightly inconvenience these people?
I wouldn't say
I've never like okay. I hear these stories and I'm just like, this is genius. But I'm thinking on the inside, I would never do this. Growing up, this is mean.
I wouldn't say I was evil. I was just vindictive, maybe. Like I was very prone to revenge, and like I don't know.
Oh, I think I was just quirky.
There was an alternate, or there was a original factor that caused you to do this.
Yeah, like all of them was just like most Brian revenge.
Didn't have it coming.
No,
this was just something
that,
to do.
His was from just from the heart. That was just like I think this.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I think it might have started because I accidentally moved his bed. Like I bumped into it and I was like,
you know, it'd be funny.
Which is, you know, that's fair. I think most of mine is just from places of just like, all right, motherfucker. Let's see what I can do. And then I would do it. But then
it's almost a challenge to yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was mostly just like, I hate that guy. I wanna make him suffer. And then finding a way to do that. Unless it was like Harvard or like any other scam I pulled off as a kid. Like the bathroom Skittles, that was another one. And then there was I ran a lot of candy scams. Did you guys ever run candy scams? No?
What is that?
So
if you explain it maybe.
So when I was a kid, I realized that for a dollar, I could get a pack of Skittles.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then like you'd go and you'd sell the pack of Skittles at school for like $1.50 or $2, and then you'd make a profit.
I would go even further. I would buy a thing of like gummy bears and then package them up into like packs of like 6 gummy bears, like in little Ziploc bags, and then sell those for a dollar.
Yeah.
So like I was caking. Yeah. On little candies.
Yep. Mine was just, I would just double the amount of, like, the full thing of Skittles. I was like, no one's going to pay for less than this because I was an idiot kid and didn't realize that they would pay for a dollar for, like, the tiny Skittles at the time. But, like, I would just double my amount of money every time just selling Skittles, and then the school would find out in some way. So I went on and became, like, I would only sell it, like, in the bathroom, and just, like, there'd just be one pack of Skittles that I would sell, like, a day. And then people would be like, you know, do you have the Skittles? And like, I already sold them. And then I'd just do that over and over and over again until eventually I had like other kids that I would just give them one bag of Skittles to sell.
You were a fucking drug dealer.
I was a Skittle dealer. And they would just always be in the bathroom in the PE, or what is it, the gymnasium. Like always that bathroom because there's no cameras around. And then I would just double the Skittles.
You guys were like sentient in school.
Yeah, one of the most evil things I've ever done to a teacher, and I feel bad for doing this, but, and it's not even like bad. It's just like, you know how like you're in a rhythm of school is like, this is the teacher. They have authority. You are here to learn. You're the student.
Sure.
It just takes you out of that. Like just one of those moments like, oh, this is just a person. And I'm a person. Like
I know what you're talking about, but the one that took me out of it was really fucked up. And I didn't realize how fucked up it was because I was so young and didn't understand the impact of it. But I understand what
you're talking about. Okay. So I used to this Spanish teacher, her name is Miss Meadow. I don't know if she's alive still, but God rest her everything. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing good. I used to make this noise. Wait. Right?
Whoa.
I've always wanted to be able to do that. I could never figure it out. I've always
and
wanted
I,
to do
I
it.
Can do it pretty loud, and when I was good at it, I could do it pretty loud. Do that?
What are you doing? I'm gonna hurt myself. That. I'm gonna leave
it's
a mark.
That's just how it is, dude. You just make the
what are you doing with your tongue?
No, I'm pushing it forward.
I can't do it. There's two that I know. That
okay,
I
but
know.
Yeah, so I would do that, and then I would do, so it'd be quiet in the class. She wouldn't be looking at us. She'd be writing on the board or something, and then I would go, and then I'd look up. And then kids in the class would look around and then just see me looking up. And then teacher would come and then just go back to writing. And then I would do it again. And then I'd look up. But then like a few of my friends would also look up. And then she started like catching on. And then maybe 3 days later, I came up with a plan to all of the kids in the class. I was like, look, I'm going to do it again. When it's quiet, we're all going to look up. And if she looks up, we all put our head down. So we go, he goes, we all look up. And then she looks up. And then right when she looks up, we all put our head down. So when she looks down, we all have our head down.
It's just me. That's like a war cry. You're organizing this infantry.
And it oh my God. It's just like so confusing because what does it mean? What does it mean to somebody that's not in on it? Like,
yeah, it's a challenge. But yes, thank you so much for tuning in to the Fish Tank Podcast. If you want more exclusive content, you're probably hearing this on YouTube, go subscribe to patreon.com/fishtankpodcast. You'll get a new exclusive episode every week that's about 30 to 40 minutes. There is a lot of footage on there that you're missing out on if you're just listening to this on Spotify, YouTube, or Apple Music. So make sure you go subscribe over there. It's $5 a month, and then we'll add more tiers as we go. But for right now, it's only $5 a month. But thank you so much for the support. Subscribe if you're new, follow us, whatever platform it is, rate us high.
I wonder what kind of content we have on there.
We will see you guys next week. Peace out, everybody. Goodbye. What? Bye. What? What? What's going on?
What are you saying? He's whispering at me.
Why are you whispering? That's gonna be you're interrupting my epic monologue. Goodbye, everybody. Peace.